Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Get ready for a style sculpting, super volumizing, fear-inspiring episode of Fat Mascara. Jen, I'm so excited.
Me too. Hi, everybody. We have a lot going on this week. We're going to start out with, it's like our version of Soap Opera Digest, but it's beauty news. And then the studio is becoming a hot box. We're doing cannabis beauty products. We're going to learn all about them. And we'll end up with the new breathable nail polish. Do we actually need it?
You tell me. We'll learn see. About that soon. And we have a major mega guest here in the studio today. Freaking hair god Orlando Pita is with us. Woo-hoo. We bow down. Okay. Whoa. Guys, I think we got to talk about like the pink and tattooed elephant in the room here. Kat Von D, you know, I have some bias. I love her. And Jeffree Star, don't know him personally, are in a feud.
I know. I feel like mom and dad are fighting.
The main beef is that Kat accused Jeffree Star, who, you know, is this really, you know, kind of androgynous makeup artist. He also has his own line. I mean, he's really like kind of a rock star of the beauty world. She accused him of not paying this artist BJ Betts for a logo that he did for Jeffree Star.
Right. And she had introduced the two of them. Mm-hmm. And also Jeffree and Kat are friends. Jeffree gets tattoos from Kat. They have color products that are made at the same lab. Mm-hmm. That actually worked its way into this little discussion because I guess Kat was taking credit for introducing him to the color lab that he uses now.
Right.
But she called him out in front of everybody for not getting this guy paid. There were some drug references in there. I know she's clean and I don't know that he is, that she talked about that as well.
She also, like, you know, it was a kind of a character attack for where he is now. She said, you know, I don't know this person anymore. He goes on Instagram. She's like, I don't even follow him. He is, like, promoting a lifestyle that's all about luxury and, like, look what handbag I'm carrying and, like, my possessions are my things. And she was very you know, like, that's not how I live my life. Just sort of like, you know, where did my friend go?
But if you and I got in a big fight, yeah. I wouldn't go on social media and like list out everything that you did wrong.
Girl, I hope not.
No. So I took away from it that beauty has become such a huge industry that the personalities themselves and all the gossip that go along with it is becoming news, just like it would in the music industry or something.
And people, listen, I was in my bathroom in my towel at 12:15 at night watching the entire Jeffree Star retort, like, no,
he didn't.
Yeah. I was so intrigued, and it felt like, you know, I was like, oh man, maybe Jeffree's right. And then I went back to Kat. No, I'm like, Kat, I'm with you. You know, it was such
a... So have you taken a side?
You know, we had Kat here in the studio. I fell in love with her. I've been in a dispute with a friend over something once. I know how painful that is, you know, over like work stuff. It's tough there, but at the same time, there's two sides to every story. You never know what goes on in a relationship or a breakdown relationship. Right. I'm not going to say who did what, but I just hope they work it out. It's sad. To me, I looked at it, I felt it was sad.
It got very reality television, too, which brings me to some other news. Speaking of gossip, did you see the news that Kim Kardashian is doing a casting call for a beauty blogger to be the beauty director of her apps?
I heard some rumblings about this.
Because I'm applying, that's why you heard? No, I'm just kidding. I thought this was really interesting. So I'm pretty sure it's just a casting call for another reality show that she's executive producing, but she's looking for beauty bloggers to send their videos because she wants to cast someone or cast several people in a reality show, which is going to, I feel like it's going to be a beauty blogger competition, is what it seemed like to me.
Well, I love like on RuPaul's Drag Race, like watching all the makeup. So I feel like the best part of that show is just going to be like a whole new show, like looking at all the
I would watch that show if it's all these people, like the Jeffree Stars versus, you know,
oh, the personalities.
Patrick Star versus Star. That would be a good episode. But the winner is going to be, this is the best part, the winner is going to be the beauty director of Kardashian apps. What do you think that entails?
I mean, discovering maybe what the new strobing is, like what's going to be the new like contour with the K? What new K franchise can they come up with?
Maybe we should apply.
When I was younger and I looked at magazines, I thought that, you know, the people who did the beauty pages, I didn't necessarily think that they were doing the makeup, but I thought you had to be well-versed in makeup too. And I think that a lot of people still think that might, you know, being great at makeup means they might actually have authority over the pages in magazines.
But these aren't even pages. It's like the apps.
Well, that's what people like, are looking at now.
It's true. You're right. This is where all the beauty content is coming from.
So if you're great at makeup, you know, maybe you didn't have a chance to be the beauty director at Vogue if just being great at makeup. But being great at makeup, you create all different cool looks that people want to look at. This might be your avenue. You know, this is what people are looking at now.
You know what I'm going to do instead?
What?
I'm going to start a company like It Cosmetics and sell it to L'Oreal.
Oh, I was in so much like, I was just like.
How much? Cosmetics, which we've talked about on the podcast, they do the CC Plus Foundation we raised a wand to. Jamie Curran Lima is the founder. She used to be a news anchor. Then she started the beauty company. It's grown hugely in 4 years, I think it's been around.
It's really such a young company that it is shocking.
And L'Oreal just bought it for, I believe, $1.2 billion.
Oh, 1.2 Bs.
Why can't we start It Cosmetics?
Seriously? Okay, ready?
We love you, listeners, but forget you. I'm going to get my $1.2 billion and be out of here.
Co-founded in 2008. What were you doing in 2008? I wasn't working on a makeup brand.
I was getting fired from Cosmo Girl, rest in peace, when the magazine folded. Should have started a makeup brand. I'd be a billionaire by now.
Why do you think it's so popular? Why do people love it so much?
For the same reasons I talked about the foundation, because it isn't just makeup. It also has all these skincare benefits. And you kind of like her. She's on QVC, and you feel like you can relate.
It's all about that relatability, isn't it?
Yes, she has a good story.
She's got a great story.
Consider yourself caught up on all the beauty gossip.
All right, Jem.
Yes. Yes, Jessica, my dear.
We're both slathering on our new Marley Natural products, but, yo, nothing's happening. I don't feel it.
Oh, because it's not
kicking in.
It's cannabis seed-based beauty products. This is such a fun new line. And the reason we both were talking about it is, weirdly, we had a desk side with the company one after the other. I don't know if you guys know. We work in the same building. And oftentimes beauty companies come to us to pitch their products. And so many times it's happened that they came to me and then they're like, okay, we're going upstairs to see Jessica next.
And a desk side.
Oh, yeah. They were there for
like, what is a desk side? They don't actually like come and like pull up a chair next to your desk. They just sit on the couch and you go meet with them. Or if you're lucky, you can grab a conference room.
I never get a conference room. It would have been good to have one for this desk side, because in addition to cannabis-based beauty products that we'll talk about, they do actually have branded Marley Naturals weed.
And smoking accessories. There was a teen tour when I was having my desk side, so that was hilarious.
Oh, and there were like water pipes out and everything? I love it.
It was like out of a comedy show. Anyway,
so a little context. Marley Naturals. Yes, a little context. So Marley Naturals is from the Marley family that you know in Jamaica, of Bob Marley fame, obviously. And the family has, they started a weed company where they're branding and stabilizing weed in states where it's legal, you know, Washington, California, Colorado, etc. But since they're also so familiar with the cannabis plant, they've started to use it in beauty products. But do you want to explain,
really,
why aren't we getting high? What's happening here?
Because there's not enough of the stuff to have like a transdermal reaction.
Yeah, the psychoactives.
The THC isn't strong. It's not potent enough.
Basically, here's the difference. Both hemp seed oil and cannabis sativa are the same plant. But if the cannabis sativa has less than 0.03% of the THC, which is the psychoactive, then it can be marketed as like skincare and called hemp, not marijuana, and it's legal everywhere if it has less than 0.03%. So cannabis sativa and cannabis sativa that is used for cosmetics are the same thing. It's just called hemp when it doesn't have a lot of THC in the strain.
And hemp is highly moisturizing, so really it's like an argan oil. Like, there's nothing, you know, dangerous about
it. No, high in linoleic acid, a bunch of other essential fatty acids. You know how everybody always is like, jojoba, it's just like your skin and it sinks right in? Mm-hmm. From what I understand, cannabis sativa oil is even better. Like, it's exactly mimicking your hair and skin, and you're just rubbing your hands together like a little, like...
I just feel relaxed. Do you remember when the Body Shop had all that hemp stuff?
They still do have some hemp products.
They do, right?
But bottom line is, if you see products that either say they have cannabis sativa oil or hemp seed oil, which is basically the same thing, they're not going to get you high. It doesn't have enough THC.
Don't think you're going to like Netflix and chill with your hemp mask, okay? Well, it's you're going to be gravely disappointed.
I thought that was that's something else completely. But yes, you are correct. What's your favorite product from this line?
I'm like really digging this hemp seed body salve. Oh, but they all body salve. But they also have a candle that, wow, like it really smells like a college dorm.
Wait, it smells like weed?
Yeah, you didn't burn it?
I didn't burn it yet. How's the throw, Jess? How's the throw?
The throw is massive. It's no Nest candle, but it's really massive.
Cool.
So it's really, it's powerful.
Jess, you must have heard the news about Orly's new launch of breathable nail polish.
I did see them at the office.
Yes, and it just came out, and everybody's been talking about it online. And at first, I was like, this is amazing. Of course I need breathable nail polish.
So what does breathable actually mean?
I'm not really totally sure, and I really looked at the formula, too. I think, like, basically you wouldn't patch a raft with it. Like, that when you lay down the lacquer, like, air and moisture can still permeate the film that you're creating.
Okay.
What were your thoughts?
Well, I remember, you remember G. Beck, right? She owned Rescue. She founded Rescue Beauty Lounge.
Yes.
Which unfortunately has closed. Rest in peace. She always told me that she gave her nails a naked day.
Right.
And because she said they needed to breathe. And I'm thinking, if she owns a nail polish, a nail salon, and she wants to sell nail polish, but she's saying nails need a naked day, nails need a naked day.
I've heard that from other manicurists I've interviewed too. They're like, oh, you know, every couple months you should take off your toenail polish or your nail polish so that your nails can quote unquote breathe. But then, like, the person in me that has, like, science classes under her belt was like, nails don't breathe. You get oxygen from red blood cells, which come from underneath. It's not like they're sucking oxygen from the air like your lungs.
So what's the verdict?
Well, so I've been trying the nail polish. I have it on. Do you see?
Okay, it's really pretty. It's and like a lilac color, listeners.
Yes, it's a lilac color. I'll tell you about the wearability in a second. But I asked a derm friend of mine, Dr. Joshua Zeichner, do nails need to breathe? And he was saying, as far as he knows, you get all that nutrients and hydration and blood oxygen that you need from underneath. The thing that is bad, I know, don't think about it too hard. The thing that's bad, though, about putting a lacquer over your nails is that it could stain them, obviously, if it's a certain color. And maybe they would dry out either because you're using a remover to get rid of them with acetone, or the chemicals in the lacquer itself would dry out the nails. And because water's not getting through, like it would with halal nail polish.
Right.
See episode one or two, can't remember. That could be bad for your nails. But do you need it? I don't know.
I think just don't wear nail polish all the time.
Well, the other good thing about this, I will tell you, I think it's like $8. It's base coat, color, and top coat in one. So I really did like that part of it. And the brush is nice and thick. So, like, you know,
And the handle's nice and chubby and rubber.
And it has that rubber chubby handle. Yeah. It lays down the color really smoothly, like a big wide brush on my big wide nail bed. So I like that. And I've had this on for, it's been 3 days. And the coolest thing for me is I think it has more flex than other nail polishes since it hasn't chipped at the tip. It only chipped in one spot. And look. It's like right in the middle of the nail, not at the tip. Isn't that weird?
I actually think that's the sign of a high quality polish.
I would agree. So I like it, whether or not it's breathable and whether or not you need that. I think it's pretty good stuff.
Okay.
Did you swink at me? You just winked at me. It got sexy at the end.
We're here with Orlando Pita. I had this really dramatic build-up intro planned, but I'm just gonna get to it. Orlando,
Hi.
I have been following your career since I was in high school. I had all of your amazing looks from Vogue and W taped up on my wall. You just do incredible hair, and just for those who aren't familiar, he's worked with everyone from Steven Meisel to Mario Testino, created the looks that you know from Dior, Tom Ford, Oscar de la Renta. You really are the most influential hairdresser of the past, you know, at least 2 decades. Thank you for being here at Fat Mascara, of all places, today.
Thank you for having me.
So, you're self-taught. What does that actually mean?
Self-taught means that I hated every haircut I had as a child. So at 14, I convinced my older brother to let me cut his hair, and then he could cut mine, and that it was going to be better than the hairdressers. And of course it wasn't, and he had all these horizontal steps, so I figured out that maybe if I hold my fingers vertically instead of horizontally, it could come out better. And my grandmother gave me a second shot, and hers came out better. And then each time after that, I would try to convince anybody to let me cut their hair. I once convinced a substitute teacher to let me cut her hair after school.
Were you better by that point?
Yes, I was.
Okay.
I was.
And how much did you charge her?
I always charge $5. I refused.
Oh, you did?
I refused to give it away for free. It was the late 70s, so I couldn't charge more than that. But
okay.
And I didn't know what I was doing. But the end result was always cool because I always had an end result in my head, and I think that's what helped me to think I can get there,
right?
Without even knowing what I was doing. So.
And how does being self-taught, how do you think that's informed your work?
I think that in hindsight, you can always look back and say that that was my grace, that I wasn't taught by anybody, and that I didn't come into it with fixed techniques, that I had to develop my own. But there were times when I got a shoot was called off because I didn't know how to do hot rollers, that you wish you could just call a friend, a hairdresser, and say, could you teach me how to do hot rollers? And it was disastrous.
The shoot was called off.
The shoe was that called
like,
off.
Like, they were like, all right, yeah, everyone yeah. clean up. We'll come back tomorrow with someone else.
Yes, it was with Carlene Cerf at Vogue. And I forget the photographer's name. I think George Schultz. And she wanted hot rollers. And I said, oh, no, hot rollers are so passe. They're tacky. You know, I don't even carry them in my kit. Of course, all the things you do as a hairdresser when you don't know how to do something, you kind of make, oh, no, I'm not into that, or I don't do
that's
that.
What's going on set when they don't want to do a look.
Always what's going on, by the way.
Oh, my, that they're just bad at it.
I mean, because if you're there to collaborate with a team, yeah. why are you going to be so adamant about not doing something?
Unless you can't do it.
In my case, I can say 100% of the time was because I didn't know how to do it.
So somebody had hot rollers.
Had hot rollers. He goes, oh, I have hot rollers. And she says, great, we do hot rollers.
I'd love to see your face.
So
like,
at about 1
great,
o'clock.
They have hot rollers.
With blisters all over my hands and the rollers were falling off. They called off the shoot.
Oh.
Luckily, Grace Mirabella was the editor-in-chief and Anna Wintour soon came in and I was taken off the blacklist because I was blacklisted after that.
But Anna didn't know.
As you
know.
Can imagine. Anna didn't know, so.
She knows now.
I'm
sure she's listening.
I don't think it matters anymore.
Yeah.
We'll send her a tape.
Okay. you have this reputation in the industry, and something that I have observed is that you're very no-nonsense. Like, you always have, you know, your head down, working on set. You're not someone who's, like, Snapchatting with celebs or, like, shilling with, like, a new product every month. Do you agree with this assessment? And if so, what's behind this attitude?
It's something that I think comes from being self-taught, that I always felt less than my peers. So starting in 1984, we didn't have Snapchat, we didn't have social media, we didn't have any of that stuff. So, and the photographer that I started with, he wanted 3 changes for every photograph. So I had to be on set thinking, how am I going to change this hair 2 more times in this shot? It was tough, but I didn't know any other way. And it taught me later on that if somebody said, oh, I really don't like that too much, all right, don't worry, I'll give you something else. Instead of, you know, being like a lot of hairdressers are like, no, I like that. And that's what, you know, is right for this. And I always think there's something else I can do if somebody doesn't like it. So...
you do the work.
I do the work, and I like to work with people that also do the work. So when I'm backstage with journalists, if they ask me silly questions or questions that don't pertain to what we're there for, I point it out.
That's a beautiful segue to the
next question.
Yeah,
I've never gotten called out. Have you ever gotten called out?
I never got called out.
You might have been there when others were.
Oh, I've been
there.
That has happened.
I've been there, and I just, like, literally, I put my phone away, I put my pen away, and I just watched the sparks fly. And I just watched the sparks fly. So here's the thing. Anyone who doesn't know what we're talking about here, every fashion week, the invites come around, the assignments go around. Whoever gets that 9 a.m. Carolina or Michael, they're nervous.
Because Orlando's
yeah, backstage. They're nervous. Because you, like, strike fear in the hearts of some beauty editors. Why is that? I'll let you pick up on what you're saying.
I think that I'm really trying to manage so many things backstage. I'm not the kind of hairdresser that allows...
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You'll know know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
There's a head of a team that then takes care of all the assistants. No, I'm the head of the team. I do the demonstration. I do the hair. I try to do as many girls as I can so as many girls can look the way I want them to look as I can. So when journalists come in and they want a story, I'm not going to stop to tell them my story. So if they're just standing around me and they're not saying anything, all of a sudden I keep working. And finally I say, you know, if you guys don't ask a question, I'm not going to stand here and start answering questions for
you.
That's
their job as a journalist, to ask a question.
You chase the story, right? I mean, you have to go after the story. And if they're just going to stand there, then I just let them stand there.
And I'll keep working.
And I keep working, and then another girl comes.
We can do this all night,
and
baby.
And then finally, they, can we ask you questions? Like, isn't that why you're here? And I don't want to belittle people, and I don't want to make people feel dumb or anything. It's just that we're all there to do our jobs, and we have to do it quickly and efficiently because we won't be invited back.
Right.
And that's what I'm always thinking about, because you're not as good as your last show. For me, you're as good as your next job, because if you don't get called again, then it doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah. Okay, note to baby beauty editors everywhere. Ask a question or get out of the way.
and have interesting questions and good questions and not just about, you know, what are women going to wear next season? Well, hopefully not all women are going to wear the same thing.
Yeah.
So I don't want to answer that question.
Crap. We got to cross that question out, Jess.
Don't ask that kind of question.
I mean, on that, you're saying, you know, they have to come up with interesting questions. You have to come up with things to say. You mentioned that, you know, you've been doing this for a while. And when you started, you were one of the first people who were on camera giving these interviews. Can you expand upon that? Because now you had to create these crazy stories. Like, she fell into the woods. It's Kate Moss, like, at her first, you know, rock concert before she met Pete Doherty. You know, like, it's right. So specific now.
Yeah, no.
You didn't have to do that.
This was really serious and informative. It was a show called Style on CNN with Elsa Clench. Mm-hmm. And I was doing the Gaultier show and Chanel show with Karl Lagerfeld, and they both love the press. So Gaultier said to me, by the way, Elsa Clench is coming backstage, you're going to have to talk to her about the hair. And I'm like, are you kidding me? This is your show. You talk about the hair. I'm not going to talk to her. Why does she want to talk to me? So of course he, you know, totally ignored me. And when she was walking with him throughout the backstage, all of a sudden he comes up, he goes, this is Rolando Pita, and he's going to explain to you about the hair today. And I was so bad. I was, so we're doing hair inspired by Jewish culture, and every other word was and I thought so stupid. Not that I thought, I know I sounded stupid.
Wait, that was, are you... I'm trying to think of what show you're thinking about.
That's
is
93,
this,
I think.
Is this 90, the, like, rabbi look?
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Wait, can you tell people who
that
might
collection.
Not... That was sort of a famous hair look. What? I want the story.
I did three cornrows, one on each side, that then ended by the ear, and then I did a payas, ended it with a payas, and then I did one down the center in the back. So I took the Jewish hairstyles and then adapted them for women and for a fashion show. And in France, it was very well received. In America, it was awful. The Jewish community here in Brooklyn we actually did stories for French Vogue out in Brooklyn, and we had to leave because...
They thought you were...
They thought we were making fun of that we were dressing women like their men and that we were making fun of their culture.
It's so funny. This conversation has continued.
When Gautier was celebrating beautiful.
And even, finding
even
inspiration.
I still, there's a Hasidim community in my upstate where I have a house. And when I see the way they dress, I just think, my God, I love that look. Yeah. I sport that look. But
all the volume.
You can. I mean, my husband's Jewish, and we once went to a Halloween party, and we last minute glued extensions on Pegasus,
and
we had two yarmulkes, and we hung strings from our black jackets. And they wouldn't let us into Lot 61. It was a Kirstie Hume, Heidi Klum Halloween party.
Because they thought it was offensive.
You're not allowed in here. This is a Halloween party, and this is our disguise. Oh. And it's like, no, you can't come in here. And they wouldn't let us
it's
in.
It's gotten so crazy.
It has.
It's
because even if you look at other cultures.
And I'm celebrating, and I love it.
Yeah. How can Tory Burch do like an African motif every other season?
Exactly. And like Bantu knots and call them Bjork knots when they're really from West Africa. It happens again and again. Why?
Maybe it's because there's more of a commercial objective to creating those fabrics and selling them to people to make clothes from, where the Jewish culture is more insular. It wants to keep everything within
That's a good
its
point
community.
As well.
I don't know. I mean, I say to my husband all the time, please let's go to those Jewish stores in Brooklyn and let's get, you know, gorgeous cashmere coats and we'll get them fitted for us. I'm not sure they're going to like want to sell to you.
Yeah, they're like, it's not a costume. They do have nice fur hats, though,
it's not
don't they?
Fashion. Yeah.
But that was sort of an iconic show. I remember that.
It was. It was my. It was the show that changed my career.
Well, I don't remember.
It
I
was
remember
the job
pictures
that
of
changed
it.
My career.
Yeah. Was it really?
Yes,
so
it was.
Were you getting more bookings afterwards, or people looked at you in a different way?
Well, after that, I started getting. Well, I got the Chanel show, and then I got Tom Ford with Gucci and Versace and Prada and. And the Galliano, but Galliano, I did his first 3 years in London when he came out of St. Martin's, and then when he was at Dior, I went back to work with him, so I knew him from the beginning.
These are the shows that people still reference today.
That's what I mean. Like, you've done these shows that are, you immediately, like, you know, you said the, you know, the Rabbi
well,
She collection.
Well, you girls know it, but.
you know what?
The point.
But to be, yes, but at the same time,
but
I think.
It's great that you're talking about it, because otherwise nobody would.
So many designers now are still being like, oh, you know, they kind of fetishize the, you know, late 90s, or early 90s rather, as, you know, like the height of fashion, the supermodel moment, and they're still kind of cherry picking from that period. You know, you talk about Rabbi Chic, Galliano, you worked with Madonna during like Bedtime Story era and Ray of Light era. You've done all of these really, on Tom Ford when he was with Gucci, these, you immediately, you think about it, you don't even see a picture, you know what it is. It's such theatrical or just at least like iconic hair. You don't see that now. So can you tell me, like, why you think that is and what your feelings are about that?
I think now there's a lot more, fashion's a lot more serious. It's a really big business. A lot of fashion houses are owned by investment groups or financial groups. And it's really important that they turn in the dollars. And so I think that making fashion more accessible through having hair and makeup that's more accessible or styling that's more accessible, and especially now that people can buy online certain outfits from a show, you don't want to have concept hair and makeup and women don't actually see themselves in that look.
Mm.
So where it serves the public better, I think, it actually maybe hinders a little bit of creativity. But I think in the end, more people look better on the street. So I don't know. You have to, you know, give and take.
I know you recently started your product line. When it came out, I said, wait, Orlando Pita has the product line? Like, how long has it been out? What did I miss? Because it was such huge news for people who love your hair and love the fashion world. So was that part of the reason you started the line? Or did someone approach you? What got you into this?
Well, again, like being self-taught, I didn't know how to use products. So I was always taking a little bit of this product and a little bit of that one. And maybe I want to control frizz, so they didn't have silicones back then. So I used to take a little bit of Nivea cream. And I would use the oddest things. And I would always make concoctions in my hand. So I was always like being a chemist. Mm-hmm. And when I opened my salon, I realized there's not really a product line that I love out there, all of it. And I always have to keep mixing and mixing. So I thought I want to do a product line, and I want to do something that's different. And I always envisioned that my product line would be like Jerry Seinfeld's show, that it's about nothing, but it's about everything. So my products feel like nothing's in your hair, but they do everything they need to do.
I mean, who doesn't need more of that in the world?
Who's your favorite character on Seinfeld?
Oh my God, there's so many. But once I was on vacation with it was right before a video that I was doing with Madonna, and one of her friends was a writer for the Seinfeld show, and she was there with her, and my best friend was there with me, named Marcelino, and Marcelino ended up being a character on the show.
Stop it.
Do you know that character, Marcelino?
I think I do. My boyfriend knows everything about Seinfeld.
So does mine. And now I'm like, he's probably shooting it.
I couldn't believe it the season after that Marcelino.
I want to text him now. Oh my, it's like eerie. He knows everything.
I'm like, is it the soup guy? Is it the shirt guy?
No, they're all good. Marcelino.
Okay, so that was actually your friend. That's mm-hmm. so funny.
That's really funny.
Still is. He's my best friend from high school.
Oh, hi, Marcelino. So you're the Seinfeld of hair products now. Great. But that said, there must be some products in there that you're especially proud of. Like, are some of them just Nivea mixed with stuff?
No, not at all. That's what I was doing in the beginning. That's what I think
we've
led
come
me,
a long way.
Yeah, exactly. That's what led me to create my own. No, I have products that are geared towards giving hair volume, because I feel like that's the problem that I hear the most. And
really?
My poor mom has probably the least hair that I've seen on anybody. And so I wanted to make something for her, too. So the shampoo starts to give you volume. The conditioner gives you volume, because I have curly hair and I style my hair really in the shower. Mm-hmm. My styling starts. So all the products support like layering and giving you more and more volume without there being buildup. They last more than one day, your hairstyle, because I'm not a big proponent on washing your hair every day.
Mm-hmm.
At least every other day, that's already 50% less. And so the products make your hairstyle last 2 to 3 days.
What does your mom say? So, does she like them?
My mom adores them, yes. And the Body Breakthrough, which is the big hero product that's great for her, you can use it on wet or dry hair, because I get women from the shampoo bowl in the salon that have wet hair, and then at work I get models with dry hair, and I'm not going to wet their hair down. And then
Body Breakthrough is the
thickening spray.
Okay.
And you can just spray it on your hair and go right into your curling iron. Or you can spray it on wet hair and blow dry it in. It's a really great product. Or you can just spray it in and put your hot rollers in. You know how to use them now.
Which we're hoping you do
by
now.
Which I do by now. I'm dying to come out with a set of hot rollers that work for today's
styles.
You
know what? There haven't been.
Because they're so easy to use.
Hot rollers?
Yeah, like the last time I had hot rollers in high school.
What can just your average girl do to just have beautiful, like high quality hair?
Well, I think your products are really important and your styling tools, mm-hmm. but really most important is what you put in your body.
And Whoa, did not expect that.
What you eat.
You're talking to the wrong woman.
If you smoke, if you drink.
I don't smoke.
If you know, all those things affect your skin, your nails, your hair, your stress does, the right sleep,
mm-hmm.
but luckily with products we can, you know, help that situation a little bit. But
any advice for those just breaking into the beauty industry?
Wow, it's a lot of hard work. It's not just a talent of knowing how to do hair. You have to know how to be a people person. You have to be a collaborator. You have to know when to shine, when to pull back. You're always doing your job for somebody else. You're never doing it for yourself. You're doing it for a photographer, for a magazine, for a celebrity, for a designer, and this is where we can sometimes get caught up and not realize that this is not a hair show.
Mm-hmm. We've talked about this on other podcasts.
That's really funny. Really,
and being a collaborator yeah. is really important. And sometimes a lot of people do all the hard work, but they have something else that's missing. And, you know, And just always know that you don't deserve anything and that you have to work for everything you get. Just because I've had 33 years in the fashion business doesn't mean I deserve to have a successful product line. No, I have to make the product good. I have to make it smell beautiful. I have to do beautiful packaging. I have to make it work. I have to then promote it. I don't deserve any of it. Let's say there's a hairdresser that has more social media followers than I do. You know, that gets into play now.
Getting bookings for fashion shows?
Yes.
Really?
I mean, when I see...
More talented?
I mean, I don't know if it gets to my level yet, but it will, because I see the girls when I see the list of castings, and they'll say the Twitter followers, the Instagram followers.
Really?
I don't know if I should be saying all this inside information.
No, you're not saying this client does this.
But if it's important, because... You know, everybody out there that gets into the industry has to know that this is part of it. And I was saying it because I got on Instagram early on and I was saying to people, you know, you're going to lose jobs to all these youngins because they have all these followers and you have all this talent and nobody's going to know about it. And you just are rejecting this new thing that's happening, which is like the railroad or TV or radio. I mean, it's that big. What's happened in our lifetime with the internet and social media. And a lot of people in my generation were very slow to jump on the bandwagon.
Can you show us what's in your bag?
I have, let's say, a multivitamin, my toothbrush.
I love when people take out their stuff.
Gotta have Imodium. Arnica pellets, Nux Vomica.
Jen likes arnica.
For a hangover.
The little sugar pellets with arnica. It's great.
Do those dissolve on your...
Yeah, they dissolve under your tongue. These great Japanese eye drops, they're like bleach.
Everybody's eye drops are from Japan.
Dr. Toothpick, dental floss. I have a medicated hive cream. Tylenol cold and flu day time.
So this is like a magic pharmacy bag.
Pause.
Also, if you could see this bag.
My Bi-Terry concealer.
The bag is like 3 inches big and things just keep coming out of it. I'm very impressed.
My hair kit is the same way.
It's compact.
I'm like anal about everything.
Yeah.
It's packed. My little go-to Nivea, the tiniest Nivea ever. My Advil.
I cannot believe stuff is still coming out of the bag.
Band-aids for all kinds of cuts.
Okay, so if I get hurt backstage this Fashion Week coming up,
I'm
gonna go find Orlando.
Editors, if you're not afraid and you have an ailment, ask Orlando.
If you need just a little spritz of rose water. I got a sty once.
Recognize that eye drop. I have very sensitive eyes. I'm like, I know those. Okay, smile away.
You've been so much fun. Thank you for telling
us great.
All your secrets and sharing your story.
A lot of wisdom.
It's time to raise a wand.
It's time to raise a wand.
We're still working on the music.
We'll get there. Okay, I'm going to start. It's all about the Hourglass Cosmetics Ambient Lighting Palette.
I know what you have there. I know it well. Why do
because
you love
I'm
this?
Not satisfied with just one Ambient highlighter. This has three. You can't see, but we'll pop it on the website. It's got like this beautiful taupey color, kind of a cocoa color, and an amber color. And you can't, like, this is like highlighting for idiots. You just run your brush across it.
All three.
I run it on all three. Like, I go crazy. And then I just swirl it on my face, like, sometimes without a mirror.
So aggressive.
Aggressive on the face. And you just never look crazy. You never look, like, you know, super cheesy or flashy. And you just look soft, highlighted, beautiful, amazing. It's a highlighter that anyone can use. It is sleek and chic and also cruelty-free, which I love.
And you look fab.
Thank you. And really, it looks great on all skin tones. I have not met a human who doesn't love it. What's yours?
Well, I actually would like to forfeit my raise of wand and pass it over to producer Britt. We've had producer Vicky on testing lash enhancers, but Britt tells us she produces a bunch of podcasts. She's never been on the air. Now is the time.
Oh,
what product do you raise a wand to, Britt?
All right. So there's one product that I think if I was ever on a desert island or if like I'm on vacation somewhere and I don't have, I freak out. And I feel like the second I see it starting to like get low, I immediately go and rebuy it. It's Josie Moran's facial cleansing oil.
Wow.
Yeah. Did I say Josie Moran right?
Yeah.
I'm the editor here. Okay. You put it on your skin actually when it's dry. So that like, which I mean, I don't know, do you do that with all face oils?
I think it's best like when it's on dry.
Okay, but so yes, it breaks down the makeup and dirt better.
Yep. So it acts a little bit as like a makeup remover.
Mm-hmm.
And then you wash it off with water and it's like just the best thing in the whole world. And it's cheap. It's like, well, it's not expensive because sometimes you can get into like really crazy.
Yeah.
Especially with those oils and that has argan oil.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I think it's $34 for like a large bottle, which like lasts a while.
Wow. So and that's really the killer. One you like the best.
I love it. I love it.
I do not regret giving her my raise a wand this week.
We
good one, Britt.
We have to have you on more.
Yeah, well.
We mentioned a lot of products and people and places and brands and things in this episode, so I just want to put it out there. If you want to find out where any of those things are, go to fatmascara.com.
And you can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter and at fatmascara for both of those things. And you can also contact us directly by emailing us at info@fatmascara.com.
So profesh.
So profesh. Thanks for listening, guys.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue checkmark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.